Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support. And we're live in Studio A with Ray Wiley Hubbard. Welcome to our little studio
here.
I'm
glad to be here. Thank you very much.
We're very excited to have you here. He's going to perform tonight over at Woodlands Tavern, and we'll have a couple pairs of tickets to give away during the session, one after. We've got some great music from Ray Wiley Hubbard. We've been excited for this.
I'm looking forward. I don't get up here a lot, you know. It's just it's kind of, you know, traveling is it's hard nowadays, so I don't get up here a lot. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we are too. We're going to see you twice, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
We're special here, right?
Oh, good.
We get you twice. Tell us a little bit about the first
song. Well, the song is called Rabbit, and it's an older song, but it's just one that I just, I'm kind of at that age now where I'm writing songs that not only do they not change chords, they don't even rhyme. I saw old dogs chase this rabbit. Saw a dog chase this rabbit. I saw dogs chase this rabbit. His own son is about noon. I said to the rabbit, "You're gonna make it." I said to the rabbit, "Well, are you gonna make it?" I said to the rabbit, "You're gonna make it." The rabbit said, "Well, I got to." Well, a woman's heart's a sacred thing. Woman's heart's a sacred thing. Woman's heart's a sacred thing. What's a man to do? Try a little tenderness, Otis read and said. Try a little tenderness, is what it said. Try a little tenderness, Otis said. And then he said, "I got to watch me work," is what it said. Now there's two kind of people in the world. There's two kind of people in the world. There's two kind of people in the world, the day people and the night people. And it's the night people's job, it's the night people's job, it's the night people's job to get the day people's money. Whew. Sad but true. Well, between the devil and the deep blue sea, between the devil and the deep blue sea, between the devil and the deep blue sea, that's where I am. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means I'm funkin' cool. Maybe it means I'm funkin' cool. Maybe it means I'm funkin' cool. Maybe it means I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Ooh, I believe that's what it means. In the groove, everybody loves it. If it's in the groove, everybody loves it. The great Howlin' Wolf said that. We have a short time to be here. We have a short time to be here. We have a short time to be here. So get out of your rut and get in the groove. Get out of your rut and get in the groove. Get out of your rut and get in the groove. 90.5.
Ray Wiley Hubbard joining us live from Studio A. He'll perform tonight over at Woodlands Tavern, and Jerry David DeSica will open up the show. We'll have some tickets to give away after this next song.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I think he's in the
heard
band
some
the
good
Black
things.
Swans,
yeah.
Yes. And so
good
yeah,
stuff.
we're
heard all about it already.
Oh yeah, I do. I know a little bit, you know. Well, this next song I wrote with a young girl named Liz Foster. She's in this band called the Trishas, and they're out of Austin, Texas, and it's a five-piece girl band that are just, you know, just love them to death, and they're just great. And so I never had, you know, written a song with a woman before, so it was really a treat for me to do that. And, you know, I've written with Hayes and Slade and some of these other guys, but Liz said we should write a song, so So anyhow, we wrote this little thing called Train Yard Blues, and I will say it's probably it's a little more sensual when she sings it. So kiss me on my sweet girl, as if we was fixing to die. And I follow you down till the Mississippi runs dry. Now there's a room down at the train yard. The walls is gray. Door ain't never locked. Sundown lusts steal away. Now I bet just a blanket. You bring a bus of Cracker Jacks. We'll make a pallet on the floor. Lay a penny on. The wall shakes and the floorboard squeaks. But you be sitting on top of the wall, girl, like a Mississippi shakes.
Wiley Hubbard joining us live from Studio A, Train Yard. It's off his latest, The Grifters Hymnal. And, well, again, we're so excited to have him here. And he performs tonight over at Woodlands. We'll have some tickets to give away in just a bit. And Train Yard, you mentioned you wrote this with a woman, one of the
Trisha's,
the girls from the Trisha's.
Yeah.
And you've been writing songs for, you know, since the 60s, if not before, and this is the first one you wrote with a woman.
I don't know how that happened. I mean, I've been in, I was actually in a jug band with a girl named Joe Wright back when I was in college, but we just never wrote. We just never had an opportunity to really. Oh, wait a minute. I wrote a song with Bonnie Bishop. I forgot about it. God,
it slide.
I've written, with two wonderful women songwriters, Bonnie Bishop and Liz Foster. Yes, I have. Yeah. So, I don't know why I forgot.
Is there conflict? Since you've written, solo or with some fellas out there, and
no,
any things they say, we can't say that kind of thing.
Oh, when I got with Liz to write this, I said, what about this for the first line? She goes, I wouldn't feel comfortable singing that. So I had to learn. I had to empathize.
Yeah.
That's the word to look at it, But it was fun. I just, I really enjoy writing is such a mysterious process, but when I collaborate with somebody else, it's almost kind of like you get a free song that maybe I wouldn't have written just by myself. When you get somebody else in the room, and you kind of get that, the inspiration or the aha, and you go, oh yeah, okay. So, I really feel fortunate to have written, with guys that I really like, I'm not one of those Nashville, briefcase songwriters that are hired to go, at 10:30 in the morning, go in there and write a song for, whoever's happening now. I usually write with friends of mine, or people that I just kind of, admire and have an opportunity to write with, And I feel very fortunate to have written with some wonderful people, you know.
Well, and you're so well-respected in that community with the Gerf Morlicks and Lucinda Williams, our audience is well aware
of. Yeah, but, you know, Slade Cleaves and Hayes Carl and I have written a song, written a couple with Ronnie Dunn. I actually wrote a song with Joe Walsh, and so I enjoy it, you know. Writing is a very mysterious process, but it's such a joy and such an anguish. You know, you anguish it over, you know, but then when it's done, you get it out there. It's a joy. So,
amazing.
Yeah, I feel comfortable. I think it's, I use the songwriting muscle enough. I know how to, I got to keep it, you know, strong. So I always keep writing, you know.
And, well, you were born in the Oklahoma area,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, southeastern Oklahoma down there.
And then early on, you that woolly country style you got were attracted to that,
yeah.
You know, the...
Well, it was, I started off in folk music. I went to high school there in outside of Dallas, in Oak Cliff, with Michael Murphy, who's now Michael Martin Murphy, a great, great songwriter, I feel fortunate with, and also a fellow named B.W. Stevenson, who wrote My Maria, and also Larry Gross, who hosts Mountain Stage.
Yes, yes.
You know, we all went to the same high school together. And so I got involved in folk music, you know, and of course, through that, you discover... You know, of course, Bob Dylan, and then Woody Guthrie, and Lead Belly, and Eric Anderson, Paul Siebel. You know, the list just goes on and on. But I was also very fortunate to have seen, Lightnin' Hopkins and Mance Lipscomb and Freddie King play, you know. I'm kind of feel, you know, trying to write lyrics that, you know, have a little depth and weight, but then also kind of got a groove to them. Mm-hmm. So I feel, you know, kind of fortunate where I am right now.
And it's your own label, and Miss Hubbard.
Yes,
kind of is in charge.
I wouldn't recommend sleeping with the president of the record label, but it really is. It's great because Judy, she just says, go write your little songs, and I can write about whatever I want to write about. I don't have to worry about, you know, anybody looking over the shoulder going, well, they're not going to play that on the radio, or that. So I can, and for a writer to have that freedom, you know, I mean, I can write songs. You know, like on the album, there are songs on there that are pretty, you know, old gospel, spiritual, Ask God. But then there's also songs about strippers and Les Paul. So, you know, to have that freedom to write, you know, that's a good place for me to be.
Were you from a religious background? Because there are
I grew up in southeastern Oklahoma, and my grandparents were went to a bunch of different, loud churches and getting baptized in a river when you're about, I guess I was 7 or 8, it wasn't that relaxing.
So special.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I grew up in the gospel music and church music was the first I heard about, and then of course country stuff, the early country stuff, right. Letty Frizzell and Hank Williams and stuff
like
that.
Love it, yeah. And Jerry Jeff Walker covered a song of yours early on in your career, too.
Yeah, it was a kind of a turbulent time back in America, you know, back in the 60s with the Vietnam War and civil rights and women's lib and, you know, the kind of the two different camps, the rednecks and the hippies and Merle Haggard had, you know, Okie from Muskogee fighting inside of me, so I just kind of goofed around one night, rode up against a wall, Redneck Mother, and Jerry Jeff is the only person I know in the whole world that would record that, you know, because, well, he has no taste.
Well, or
he has no fear. He has no scruples. That's the word I was looking for. He has no scruples. And so, and then that whole progressive country thing happened down in Austin with Willie and Michael Murphy and BW and Jerry Jeff and... that whole thing, and I was always, you know, more of a folk singer, but in order to get the gig, you know, it's kind of a weird thing, because I wrote the song Redneck Mother, and I go to these places to play, and people go, play Redneck Mother, and so I'd play Redneck Mother, and I go, here's another song I wrote, and they go, play Redneck Mother again. So, because I never was throwing myself as a country singer or a country songwriter. I was more always, you know, a folk guy, because the lyrics, you know, they do mean something to me. Even when I write a goofy song like Snake Farm or something, I try to make it well written.
But it's catchy and edgy, and it's really, you got that cool groove.
Yeah, I thank you very much. I feel real comfortable able to write about whatever I want to. Yeah. Whenever the songwriters, you probably know what they call the great aha, where you go, aha, that'd be a good idea for a song, or
I wish that was mine.
Yeah,
you know, I wish I could write.
Yeah, you know, that and kind then of stuff. So I feel you know, pretty fortunate for an old cat. You know, I'm still writing these songs, traveling around and playing them for people.
And you mentioned Willie a little bit later on, not that we were spying on you, but something about his picnic you'll be performing.
Oh, yeah, he does his 4th of July picnic, doing it at Billy Bob's Texas this year. And I've done every one but the first one. I got,
oh, really? Okay.
I got lost and couldn't find it on the very first one. And then whatever, you know, I was on, Willie started a record label a long time ago, and then it, you know, fell apart. So he called me up and he said, well, you know, you can play all my picnics from now on. So I've been playing them now for about 30-something years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on yet another amazing release, The Grifters Hymnal.
It turned out really well. You know, I'm really very happy with it. And I have some very special guests. You know, we cut it at a church, as a matter of fact. We cut it at an old church out in Round Top, an old... it was a Methodist church that they built in LaGrange in 1883, and then they moved it to Round Top and restored it. And so they let us, they desanctified it so we could go in and make some rock. And we went in there and cut at this old church. I went in there with George Reeve and Rick Richards, who, of course, now out Joe Walsh's band. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call last January, says, Ray, this is Joe Walsh. I don't want to steal your band, but I want to steal your band. That Snake Farm band. I want Rick and George to go out with me. So they've been out with Joe for the last couple of years.
Stealing your thunder.
Yeah. So that we cut in that church with Audley Freed, and that was kind of the basic of the band. And I had really a bunch of, you know, my son Lucas played guitar and Billy Cassis. And I got two Hall of Fame rock and roll guys, two English rock guys on it, Ian McLagan and Ringo Starr on the record. So I feel, you know, very surprised and about that, but that was very cool.
Well, and I read where Ringo had invited you out to his place because he was a fan. I mean, you are your own thunder. You know what I mean?
It was very strange. It's when this album Snake Farm came out, a guy named Brent Carpenter, who does videos for Ringo, bought the Snake Farm and burned Ringo copy. Didn't even buy it, burned it, gave it to him. He says, this weird guy in Texas I think you'll like. Then the next thing I know, somebody said, Ringo's talking about you on his website. And so he was holding up what he was listening to. And then we finally, you know, we met in the Greek Theater, and he asked, you know, had to come out and sing with Help With My Friends. Then went to his 70th birthday party at Radio City Music Hall. And we were talking one time, and he said, I really like your songwriting. And I said, I really like your songwriting. And he said, well, nobody thinks of me as a songwriter. I'm a Beatle and a drummer. And I said, man, you did an album called Buku's of Blues, and there was a bonus track on there called Coochie Coochie. It was one chord, and I said, I love that song. And I said, I may cut it. And he goes, well, I'd like to hear that. So we were at the studio, and I had a resonator, and Audley had a mandolin, and my bass player had a 12-string, and Rick had like a kick drum and a bird feeder, I think. And I said, let's cut Coochie. So we just ran the tape just kind of as a joke, just did it one time through, and we sent it to Ringo, and he said, I really like it. I don't have to play drums on it. The drums are good, so I'll sing and play shakers on it. So,
cool.
You know, I got a Beatle on the record.
Isn't that nice?
How wild is
how
that?
How often do you get that?
Yeah, not very often.
Sheesh.
So very, very, very nice. You know, the thing about Ringo, man, he's the reason he does the All-Star, he's a musician. I mean, he's a Beatle and a drummer, but he's also got this musician heart where he loves to perform and loves playing music, and so he's, you know, he's just he loves music, loves performance, so he's still out there doing it, man. What a great cat.
And we love you, and we're very thankful that you came here today and shared these amazing stories and your music with us today.
What time's the show tonight?
What time is the show? You're asking
probably
me?
Probably 8 or 9? I don't know. I wouldn't imagine.
No, doors are at 8 o'clock, and then Jerry will go on. And then,
okay, yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing him.
And
then
our new friend, well, as we've met, but we've been with you for a while, so we're glad to meet you finally face to face.
Well, anything you want to hear, anything in particular, it doesn't matter to me.
Well,
if I know it,
there's
something.
A lot. Well, we could do Snake Farm.
Okay, I can do that.
Everybody can sing along out there.
All right. You know, that's when you talk about...
Or do you want to do Coochie?
It doesn't matter. Nah, I probably don't do Coochie.
Well, let's just... The whole next half hour. Well, no.
Oh, no. I'll do a quick Snake Farm. They have a snake farm down there in New Braunfels, and it's a petting zoo and snakes and all that. And it's been there for 40 years, and I've probably driven by it 10,000 times. And then one day, I just read Flannery O'Connor, and she has this quote about never second-guess inspiration, and that was just kind of my mind. And I drove by the snake farm, and I went, what? What am I going to do with that? And I said, I'll make a song out of it. So we'll do Snake Farm. tempest storm. She can dance like a little angel. She works down at Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Got a keen sense of humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Says, well, it's got its charm. There's nothing to do in the winter now, and some kid gets bit at the Snake Farm. I said, Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Is called The Alarm. Said she cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ooh. Sometimes Ramona calls me up and says, come on down here, it's getting warm. And she runs everybody off and we, you know, Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house, Snake Farm. Ooh, Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, it pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house.